The only thing I can say about this first song is take a deep breath at the very first of it, guys. It's a long, long, long song. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Are you washed in the blood of a lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace's hour? Are you washed in the blood of a lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of a lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of a lamb? Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves of hills and tunnels, never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eyes upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore, where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we will meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. I was standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day, when I saw that hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. So happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. How sweet and happy seem those days of which I dream, when memory recalls them now and then. And with what rapture sweet my weary heart would be if I could hear my mother pray again. If I could hear my mother pray again. If I could hear her tender voices then. So happy I would be, would mean so much to me if I could hear my mother pray again. God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, the burning bush, burning bush. God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, saying, I'm the Lord thy God. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground, holy ground, holy ground. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground, for I'm the Lord thy God. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. You can call him up and tell him what you want. The line ain't never busy, tell him what you want. The line ain't never busy, tell him what you want. The line ain't never busy, tell him what you want. You can call him up and tell him what you want. Yes, call him up and tell him what you want.
This next song I wrote in 2014. I don't know what I can tell you about it, but just listen closely to the words.
Set us free.
is free, my Lord, set us free. Set us free, my Lord, set us free. Set us free.
Next one, One More Valley, One More Hill. All through life, we've got those valleys and hills that we go up and down, but we always wait for the end. Be there with God. Song, If Jesus Comes Tomorrow, are you ready? That's the big question. Are you ready? If Jesus comes tomorrow to spend some time with you, would you answer all his questions or lie to hide the truth? Would you welcome him with open arms or even let him in? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then?
number could you leave today? Are you ready to lay down your worldly goods and walk away? Would it take a month of Sundays to tell him of your sin? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? If the sky turns black as midnight in the middle of the day, and somehow you know that Jesus would soon be on his way, would you have to beg forgiveness, or could you reach out and take his hand? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? Could you reach out and take his hand? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then?
This last song is No Longer Slaves, and it's mostly about never be a slave to fear. Let God look after all your fears, and life should go on that way. I used to fear a lot of things, and now I don't fear anything, because I know God will look after it all.
Fear, I am a child. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Contain the joy this morning of being here with you. I'm so thankful. Father God, have your way. Have your way with us. Teach us your words and your will, now and always. Amen. When you were growing up, what were some of the things your parents said to you again and again? Think about it. Now, I'm sure there were a lot of them, and there are some that stick. Or if you're now a parent, what are those things you say to your kids that you promised yourself you would never say when you were a parent? Let me give you a few to start. These are some that I heard all the time. Money doesn't grow on trees, you know. If your friends jumped off of a bridge... We've all heard that one. Would you jump off a bridge too? If I have to stop this car, just wait until your father gets home. Shut the door. Were you born in a... All right. We have a few in common from coast to coast, because that was the Western version from BC. Anybody else? Anybody else got... one that goes, oh my goodness, if I heard my father say that 1,000 times, you'll never grow up. All right. What about the golden rule? Didn't you hear the golden rule? Remember that one? Treat people the way that you want to be treated. It's part of the passage that we're going to consider today as we continue with our study of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. It's a familiar saying too, isn't it? But you're aware, maybe, that many of the world religions or belief systems have a similar saying to the Golden Rule. Let me show you a couple of them. What is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow men. That's the Talmud of Judaism. Do not unto others, which would cause you pain if done to you. Hurt not others in ways that you yourself find hurtful. And Confucius said, do not do unto others that which you would not have them do unto you. they all sound pretty much the same, don't they? It doesn't seem to be a whole lot of difference. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Can you see the difference? Maybe it's not obvious. Christ is calling us to do good things and more of them. Whereas the other examples, they're calling people to refrain from doing hurtful or painful or hateful things. Splitting hairs, Tracy, what's the big deal? Well, this is how a preacher named Pat Damiani explains it, and I really appreciate his insight, so I'm going to share it with you. In this example, though, he is talking about his wife, so for obvious reasons, I'm going to substitute my husband for his wife. I know it sounds a little weird, but it'll become clear. It goes as follows. What if someone were to come up to me and ask me if I love Rob? And I responded, well, I've never done anything bad to him. First of all, that would be a lie. Because I know that there have been times in my life when I did say or do things that hurt him. But just suppose for a moment that I hadn't done those things. Let's suppose that I had never, ever done anything bad to him. Would that convince you that I really loved him? Probably not. After all, there are probably a lot of people who have never done anything bad to him. Certainly doesn't mean that they love him. The real test of whether I really love my husband is what I have done to show my love for him. Have I served him with sacrificial love that looks out for his best interests, even over my own? Have I treated him in a way that I would want to be treated if I were in his shoes? And have I done these things regardless of how he treats me? Which, just for the record, is consistently far better than I deserve. Do you see the difference now? Does it make sense? Our Savior's call to do good to others is so much broader and bigger and all-encompassing than simply not doing anything bad to them. I can avoid treating someone poorly. All I have to do is ignore them, walk away from them, not even acknowledge them. It's kind of a passive response, though. But to act as Christ would have us act, according to the golden rule, you can't accomplish that by just being passive and doing nothing. It takes effort. It requires action. It's deliberate. It's a decision. So that's the first comment I want to make about Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So let me read the entire verse this time. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let me read that again. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, hearing this, maybe your ears perk up a little. Wait a minute. Because the crowd that was listening to Jesus at that time, I assure you, their ears perked up. If I had started at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount and worked all the way through, just as if you were sitting there listening to Jesus, you may have heard a connection. Where have we heard Jesus talk about the law and the prophets? Back near the beginning of his sermon. Chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus spoke these words. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now, whenever you see in your Bible studying a repeated phrase, take time to consider the purpose. One of my seminary teachers used to always say, when you see in the scripture, therefore, always ask what it's there for, right? A few people are nodding that have been to Bible college and seminary. you have to ask yourself, you have to engage in the scripture. And repeated phrases are like that too. And we've seen that even in this Sermon on the Mount. Repetition, like, you have heard it said, but I say. Jesus said that several times. And it was to show contrast. In Christ's sermon that we have been studying for several months, this phrase, the law and prophets, is used to envelop everything else in between. It's a rabbinical literary technique. It's called inclusio. Basically, it means I'm bookending a certain passage or a certain bunch of scripture. And that's what Jesus was doing. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. Followed by, for this is the law and the prophets. So we look at everything, that section in between, all being packed together. That's the rest of chapter 5, all of chapter 6, and the first verses of chapter 7. And in that, Jesus goes on to explain how he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and how that truth is to impact the way that we live our lives as followers, as kingdom citizens. In a sense, Matthew 7:12 can be looked at as a sentence, a one-sentence summary of everything that Jesus has been teaching up to that point. And before I move on to the next two verses, let me be clear. Treating others the way we want to be treated is not a salvation issue. It's not how we secure a seat in heaven. If there is any uncertainty, let me state this plainly. There is nothing, nothing that we can do to earn heaven. That's already been accomplished by Christ alone. Amen? He doesn't need us to do anything. He's done it all. Our behavior, our ethics, our service, our love, our compassion, our patience, our attitudes, all of these things are in response to what God has already done. Consider this. There's this continuous feedback loop that exists in the believer between obedience and intimacy with God. I learn from God's word how I can live a righteous life, how I can live the best life, and I am obedient to his call. Then I feel greater intimacy with God by following just a little bit, and I'm drawn nearer to him, which causes me to seek him more and want to learn more about him and be more obedient. And again, I am drawn deeper and deeper, with obedience leading to greater intimacy and intimacy leading to greater obedience. Which shouldn't really surprise us, should it? Because Jesus tells us that. John 14:15, if you love me, intimacy, you will keep my commandments, obedience. And that could take us into a several-week sermon series in itself. But there are two more verses that we're going to consider today. And they are as follows. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Not much of a selling feature, is it? Not much of a campaign. How many of you are familiar with Alice in Wonderland? Everybody know? I know that's dated, right? All the young people are going, Alice in Wonderland. Wasn't that a movie? There was a book. There was a book first. Anyway. There is a place in the story where Alice comes to a fork in the road and she isn't sure which way to go. She's talking to herself and she's debating it. She's like, that way. And then she hears singing and she looks up and there's the Cheshire Cat in the tree and it's looking down at her. So she asks him, hey, which way should I go? And what does the cat say in response? Well, that depends on where you are going, where you want to get to. And what is her response? Well, It really doesn't matter. To which the cat replies, then it really doesn't matter which way you go. Sadly, this is how many walk through life, with no destination in mind. But despite Alice in Wonderland, it really does matter which way we go, because there is a right way, which leads to life, and a wrong way, which leads to destruction. It's all about the destination. At work in the pharmacy, I interact with many people that are facing the end of their lives. A medical diagnosis has shaken them to the core, and they're left reeling with the realization that their time is short, that they will soon die. They want to talk, and I think that at that point, even a pharmacist will do, because they're desperate, because talking about death in our society just isn't comfortable. They're often surrounded by friends and family that say, oh, don't worry, it's gonna be okay, or they pretend that everything will be okay. And those friends and family really don't want to talk about it. They're scared. But when these people, these individuals, sit down with me and I ask them if they're scared and if they know their destination, many have answers that are incredibly unsettling. The other day, one man told me that he knew he would go to heaven because he'd been baptized as a child. All right. I guess that's the only check he needed. Another woman told me that she'd always been a good person, so she was probably going to heaven. Others still have mocked my belief that Christ was the only way, telling me that I was intolerant, claiming that all religions lead to the same place, it doesn't matter which one you check. Different roads, but the same destination. But none of that is what God's word tells us. Here it is, plain for all of us to see. Jesus himself tells his listeners that the gate is narrow, the road is hard, and those that find it are few. Let's consider each in turn. Why is the gate narrow? Because there's only one way, and that way is Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I want to be perfectly clear on this point this morning. Jesus is not simply one of many ways to get to heaven. He is the only way. And if that sounds intolerant or narrow-minded, then so be it. The truth is the truth, and I don't apologize for my God. The biblical truth is also recorded in Acts 4:12, which says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Intolerant, narrow, and the truth. Why is the road hard? Well, Jesus did tell us it was going to be. John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I also like the Message translation of this one. I'm always back and forth in different translations. It reads, I've told you all of this, so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world. From our study on the Sermon on the Mount, we see that kingdom citizens are called to be different. You're not going to blend in with the crowd if you are seeking to be salt and light, if you love your enemy and turn the other cheek, if you do good deeds in secret so that only God knows and gets the glory, if you allow judging to be God's domain, when you pursue holiness rather than happiness, when you take care of others rather than accumulating wealth or possessions. All of these will make you different from everyone else. And it isn't easy being different. Blending feels a lot safer. That's why Christian fellowship is so important. That's why it's important to gather together, to participate in activities with other believers, to surround yourselves with those who know Christ and know God's word. Finally, why do only a few find it? Many reasons. Some think that the Christian faith is foolishness, a crutch for the weak. I've heard that one a lot. Others like to think that while God exists, they can still live life as they see fit. And he'll be okay with that. They're more guidelines, not commandments. Still, others think that our beliefs are too restrictive, too intolerant, or too outdated. Get with the times. That was fine way back then. It doesn't apply now. But there is a more sorrowful reason that I can think of. And that is the reason people do not find the way is that God's people, those who are already in the kingdom or kingdom citizens, are too shy or too uncertain or too ashamed or too unwilling to stand up for Christ. They don't take seriously the Great Commission to spread the good news and make disciples. They discount or downplay the reality of hell. It's not real. No loving God would send anybody to hell. Or maybe it's as simple as they don't want to rock the boat. In the military, we always said, stay low, keep moving. That's how you avoid fire. I read a blog where a woman was describing her interaction with a neighbor who later became a dear friend. Initially, they hardly knew each other, as is typical. Eventually, though, their families got to know each other and they started socializing and sharing meals and going on vacation together. A year or so later, the woman was given a devotional book by another neighbor. And she was profoundly impacted. She gave her life to Christ and everything changed. Now these two neighbors were able to share on a deeper level. They went to the same Bible study, attended the same church, took part in special events together, serving the community. And one day, while they were talking on the phone, the woman asked her, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? When we went on that ski trip, you knew the most important information in the world, and you didn't tell me. Why didn't you tell me about Jesus?" This is what she wrote in her blog. There was a long silence on the phone. Quite honestly, I didn't know how to answer her. The thoughts that ran through my mind were similar to, "But I was barely around you. I didn't know you. When I objectively looked at her question, there really was no defense, she writes. "I did know the most important thing in the world, and I chose not to share it. If it had been an earth-shaking current event or something exciting about a common friend, I would have immediately told her." The truth is that we don't treat Jesus like that. We treat him like an old, familiar piece of luggage that we tote around, like something we keep locked up and carry with us so that we have it when we need it. The resurrection is the most earth-shaking world event there is. There is no more exciting news than this, that Creator God, the ultimate judge, the Holy One, has decided for no good reason other than grace to offer us his friendship. She continues on saying that this new believer gave her a wake-up call for which she is truly thankful. She writes, "The way I talk to people has changed. More and more, I look for ways to bring Jesus into my everyday conversations. I pray and look for open doors to share the most important information that I know, to talk about the person I love the most, to introduce the one who can transform anyone in any time. Around my non-Christian friends, and I'm thankful to have many, she writes, I try to temper that with respect because I value their friendships. There is nothing better than having relationships where we can engage in open, honest conversations. Genuine questions about what I believe are always welcomed. There is only one question I don't ever want to hear asked of me again, and that is, why didn't you tell me? Here's the bottom line. It does matter where you are going, and it does matter what path you choose. If you find yourself on the broad road today and the road is easy, then you're probably on the wrong road. Take a close look at that road you're standing on. And if you think you might be headed for destruction, it's not too late to get on the other road, the narrow road, to walk through the gate that is Christ. Make that decision today. Time is short. We don't know what the rest of this day will bring. Let us pray. Father, give us courage. Give us boldness. Give us wisdom as we navigate this world, trying not to offend, trying to be tolerant, which is foolishness, when we know the only way. You do not want to see anyone lost. That should be our purpose as well. May we never hear those words, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Help us, Father God, to boldly live for you and your purposes so that the end of the road will lead us to life. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen.